And you're listening to Hardwick Sound, the best podcast ever, because I'm on it, Batman.
Hi, I'm Caleb Hardwick. Welcome back to the podcast. This is episode number 21. We have a full room of podcasters today. Let's see. To my left, I have Ms. Carla Hardwick joining us for this episode.
Hello, everybody.
And to her left is my elder brother, Noah.
Hello.
And to his left is Seth.
Hey there. How's it going, guys?
And somewhere in remote, what county is Magnet Cove in?
Hot Springs.
It is?
No, it's there's no S on the end.
Oh, sorry.
It's just Hot Spring.
Somewhere in Hot Spring County is...
Yes.
Corey.
Hi.
Yay, returning back for a second podcast. He's like an honorary Hardwick now.
Thanks for having me on again.
It's like...
You go see one movie together and you're in the club.
Yeah, welcome to the club.
Thank you, I'm honored.
This is going to be fun. We have Corey back on, and we're going to be reviewing a special movie we went and saw together and talking about that and some other fun stuff along the way. So let's get into this. Hey, Corey, you were on the episode last week. Tell us about what happened when you and your family listened to this podcast.
Well, I pulled up on my phone, and like I thought I'd just show them a little bit and then listen to like the rest of it by myself, but they enjoyed it, and we listened to the whole thing, and they laughed quite a bit, and so did I, and I also cringed at my own voice, but I had a blast listening to it again, and it's been an honor. It's been fun.
Sweet. That means now we have, like, how many people in your family?
There's four of us.
Yeah, so now we have four listeners. Yeah!
Woo-hoo! Oh, yeah.
All right. Of course, you don't really count since you're on the podcast, so maybe three listeners.
I guess so.
I don't know. Hey, let's talk about what's been going on. What y'all been doing? Have any fun adventures to tell about?
No.
Seth, just school?
Yes. Awful, terrible school. It's the first, end of the first quarter, and every class is testing.
Oh.
It's terrible.
Lots of exams, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Corey, how's school?
Pretty good. It's been mostly just kind of the same old thing. Like, I'll have a test Tuesday I'm not looking forward to. But other than school and grocery store, not much is new over here.
Hey, Seth, I saw that Harps is hiring.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, I want to go get a job, but I'm in school and I kind of can't.
Oh, well, Corey can. He works at the grocery store and a school.
Yeah. And
it's difficult.
See?
So you're just not interested in doing anything difficult?
Not at the same time as school.
Okay. Noah, anything been going on at work? Exciting?
Not that I want to talk about.
Yeah. Okay.
But I went and saw a movie last week.
Yay! We'll get back to that in a second.
In fact, we all did.
Mama, you have anything exciting to say? Any adventures?
I've been selling chickens.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Lots and lots of baby chicks. I had 100 Rhode Island Red chicks, and I think I sold about 80 of them. And I had another 100 Buff Orpington chicks, and I sold maybe 40 of those. So anybody out there in our listening land that needs baby chicks, I still have some for sale.
Yeah, we've had a lot of chickens. It's a lot of peeping going on around our house.
Corey, do you need any baby chicks?
Not at the moment, but I'll get back to you if I ever do.
Okay.
I'm curious, Corey, what kind of like animals have you had and or have?
Dogs. We have dogs, but I don't think we have them for the same purposes that people have them for have chickens. So.
Oh, your dogs don't lay eggs?
Not this breed.
Oh. What breed do you have?
Let's see. We have a miniature schnauzer, and my sister has her own Yorkie, and I love them to death. They're the best.
Do you love the Yorkie more than your dog?
No, I love them both equally.
Okay. So, Caleb, what have you been up to lately?
Well, I've been working some. I went on an interesting adventure on Saturday, Saturday. I don't remember. One of these days, I went around and I was filming myself rapping around Haskell, and I posted that on Instagram. That was fun.
I have not watched that video yet.
Interesting story. While I was out, I was on my scooter, and I stopped in at Sonic. And, of course, because I was on my scooter, I just went into the little patio area out front. And so I'm sitting there, and it was really windy, and I was eating my cheddar peppers, and they were sitting on the table. And the wind blew my cheddar pepper straight off the table. And I was so frustrated. And the funny part was that I was so frustrated that I yelled, "Curses!" And of course, everybody's sitting there in their cars with their windows rolled down. And so they saw me. And so they're like, "Wow."
And you were wearing a Midtown shirt?
No,
at the time,
no,
right?
No, I don't think so. No, we'll see. I was just wearing a blank red shirt. Yeah.
Well, the thing that makes that story even more interesting is the fact that he was thinking about this event in the kitchen this afternoon when he was hungry. And he said, "I wish I had lost my cheddar pepper. Curses!"
Yeah.
He's still mad at Sonic.
I'm mad at... It's not Sonic's fault. I'm just kind of mad at Sonic. I don't know why. It wasn't Sonic's fault the wind blew it off my table, but
why
anyway.
Is your patio not windproof?
Yeah, yeah.
See, what I love about this is you know, a homeschooler, instead of yelling out profanity, he says curses.
Yeah. It says homeschool curse words. Yeah.
Ooh, you said a bad word.
I'm going to pronounce a curse upon this establishment. Like, what are some other homeschool cuss words?
We really want to go here?
No.
I'm just curious.
For me, it was the classic poop. You know.
Yeah.
You said that, man.
I'm going to have to bleep that, man.
That's awful.
I'm going to bleep that. No, like crud. You hear that one a lot.
Yeah. I just grunt.
Just gah.
I just throw something.
Yeah.
I like that one too. Actually, I prefer kicking, really.
I don't like kicking. Kicking hurts.
I prefer taking out my frustration in violent actions.
It's preferable over saying words.
Yeah. Well,
it's less harmful.
In this case, I think saying curses was a lot better than
kicking
out
the Sonic table across the...
Yeah.
You don't want to be like Bad Cop in the original Lego movie, you know, when he starts kicking the patio furniture around.
Hey, that's a good segue.
Yeah.
Segue?
Segue.
We all get like segues!
Isn't that one of those things you ride, but it doesn't have like four wheels, you know? You
just pogo stick on wheels?
Yeah.
A segue in this case means something between two conversations. What do you? Yeah, good enough. Hey, let's talk about the Lego Batman movie. That's the movie we referenced earlier in this film. We also were talking about it in the last episode. But anyway, we went and saw it. Me, Noah, Seth, and Corey, and some others. There were some other people there.
There were.
That was terrible grammar. You got to try that again.
There was some other people there.
No, you don't put your... You don't say me.
Me, I'm Noah, sorry. Seth, Corey.
Corey, Noah, Seth, and I went to the Tinseltown Movie Theater, and we saw Lego Batman with a few other people who were there, although they're less important in this version of the story. I think we all actually kind of enjoyed it. It was pretty fun.
I loved it. I thought it was like a great children's movie, but they did a great job at like having humor that everybody, I guess, who's not kids are going to understand.
Right, yeah. I thought it was funny just because there was so much like tongue-in-cheek Batman stuff.
Oh yeah, that made the movie. That was the best part.
And I'm not even like a big Batman person. Like I like Batman, but I don't know a ton about it. But even now, like this is kind of fun to poke fun at Batman. So that's what I thought anyway. Noah, what do you think?
I think it's probably the best DC Comics movie we've had the last 5 years at least.
I can agree with that. Definitely. I also like how there were so many different like villains from all this other different franchises.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Lego has got to be the only thing, except for maybe The Simpsons, that can combine that many franchises and not get sued and actually make it work.
Yeah. It was funny.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert, like Sauron in there and he was just an eyeball.
So they had like Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, Doctor Who. You know, DC. I mean, what else did they have?
Godzilla, King
Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
Stuff. Yeah, but I like, he's just like, "Oh, my eye."
Okay. Was it just me, or did they make a big mistake, or perhaps missed a big opportunity for, I mean, the way they defeated the Sauron and the eye was it Godzilla?
I think maybe.
I think it was Godzilla, shot some kind of something or another out of his mouth, and it destroyed the tower. It's like, come on. Could they not have had a ring somewhere and they throw the ring in? And or Is that the best they can do to destroy Sauron?
Yeah, he did seem like he kind of went down kind of easily, considering how hard he was to defeat in Lord of the Rings. He went down in Lego Batman pretty easily.
Yeah, it was just, he already went down in Lord of the Rings, so this is post-Lord of the Rings.
Oh, okay. So his confidence has been very much hurt by now. Sorry, go ahead, Corey.
To be fair, I don't exactly think this movie was grounded in reality.
Oh, really?
What? I'm actually a little disappointed that they didn't cross over back into the real world with this one any. Like, they kind of felt like they almost alluded to it once or twice, but they never brought it back to, like, the same world as the Lego movie.
Yeah.
They alluded to it because Batman referenced being a master builder a couple times.
That's true. Yeah. Apparently, it's supposed to be set 3 years afterwards, but I didn't catch that in the film. I just saw that on Wikipedia. Anybody else figure out where that might have come from?
The fact that it was released 3 years afterwards?
I guess.
I mean, I know it's set in the same universe. I got that.
Yeah.
I'm just surprised that they didn't break away to, like, a little kid's hand anywhere or anything like that in the movie.
They did break away to real people in Batman costumes. That's, Adam West, particularly.
Yeah, they did do that.
It was a little weird, but it works. So
I was reading, like, an interview with the director, and they were asking, like, so how did you manage to get all of these franchises into the movie? And he's like, lawyers. Lots of lawyers.
Well, I just assumed that because Lego owns the rights to all those things.
It still involves lots of lawyers, even with that.
Because now you're showing it in film.
Lawyers can do anything. Anyway.
Okay, so why did they not bring all the other DC superheroes back at the end of the movie to help save the day?
Spoiler.
Because it was all about Batman, I mean.
Yeah.
It would have probably, detracted from the glory of the Dark Knight.
Well, yeah. They could have, like, shown up after the whole thing was saved and was like, hey, we heard you were in trouble and thought you could use some help. And it's like, no, I got this.
Your Batman's pretty good, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Since when?
I don't know. Since when? I don't know. I have a totally random Batman question. Is Batman the alter ego of Bruce Wayne, or is Bruce Wayne the alter ego of Batman?
Well, in this universe, Bruce Wayne's the alter ego. But in, like, the rest of everything, I think Bruce Wayne's the default guy.
And so it's opposite in Lego Batman?
I think so, because if you notice, he was Bruce Wayne for, like, 2 minutes.
That's true. He was almost... Yeah.
And besides that, Bruce Wayne lives in Batman's attic.
That's true. Yeah. That was a great line. He's like, wait, Batman lives in Bruce Wayne's basement? No. No. Bruce Wayne lives in Batman's attic.
Also, just to clarify, the name of the movie was the Lego Batman movie, not the Lego Bruce Wayne movie.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. So I guess that makes sense. But I was just something I was thinking about earlier, and I was like, wonder
also,
which way it is.
He wore pretty much the Batman mask the entire movie. Even when he wasn't in Batman costume, he still wore the Batman mask.
True. It sounds like something Batman would do, actually.
I don't know. It looks terribly uncomfortable to me. But
really?
He has separation anxiety.
I'm setting you up here for a Princess Bride reference.
Yeah. Really? I think everybody will be wearing them in the future.
You know, maybe that's part of the illusion of, like, a kid kind of, in a sense, directing them, you know, what was going on. Because, like, I think if a kid was, like, playing a Batman costume, even if he was, like, being Bruce Wayne, he wouldn't take off the mask.
Right.
So here's something I want to throw out here. Are y'all noticing that there is a common theme developing among all the Lego movies so far? Like, with the Lego movie, the Lego Batman movie, and the upcoming Ninjago movie?
It all has to do with the father-son relationship.
Yeah,
it's true.
Hmm.
I have to admit, Lego's done a very good job at promoting father-son relations.
Yeah, that may be part of actually like an agenda that Lego is trying to say, hey, look, we're the thing that you can use to connect with your child.
That's
probably
good advertising.
Yeah, I'll say that's probably good marketing.
So I was going to say, that brings us up to another question. Was the Lego Batman movie just a giant advertisement?
Pretty much, yeah.
It was the best advertisement ever.
It's forget Super Bowl commercials. This is better. Actually, it's funny because even though it was the Lego Batman movie, I thought the fact that it was Lego was kind of a side note. I mean, like, there wasn't just a ton of it that was like, hey, look, we're Legos, you know?
Yeah.
Occasionally, there were little Lego jokes, but not a ton.
But I think that fits into, like, with the Lego Batman video games and Lego, just Lego video games in general. It's kind of a side note that they're Legos really in the video games, from what I can tell.
Yeah. As someone who's played them, I'd agree.
I've never played them, so I can't say.
It's kind of weird, though, that Lego owns this universe where everything's Lego, and yet that's kind of irrelevant.
It's really weird the way it's come about like that, yeah.
Yeah. The franchise itself is kind of overgrown its, you know, original concept. Kind of like The Simpsons. I mean, yeah.
But, I mean, Legos are supposed to be a tool for imagination, so, like, that's true. Guess when you're not thinking about that, oh, it's Legos, you're using your imagination for these worlds that you're creating.
Yeah.
What's interesting is, like, it's hard to think of any brand that has done better at marketing itself than Lego. Like, it has really done an extremely good job of crossing, like, the divide between toy and electronic toy, app, video game, computer, movie, television show, everything, than what Lego has done. Like I feel like they should be like kind of the model for how you manage to make a brand that's like multifaceted like that. And yet I really don't hear people talking about Lego like as the model. Like, nobody says, I want to be the next Lego.
I bet they do say that, actually.
Probably, yeah. I just hadn't heard it.
Mega Bloks probably said that but failed miserably.
Yeah. Well, I'll agree with you there. There's a lot of different Lego knockoffs now.
And then Leapin comes along and they're just like, hey, I'm not even going to try and make my own stuff. I'm literally going to completely recreate old Lego sets. I'm even going to steal their picture and put it on our box.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I liked Kinects, which were kind of weird. They were kind of like Legos, but they were more like Gears and stuff.
Was that not a Lego sub-brand?
No, you're thinking Lego had an alternative to Kinects.
They had a Kinects type thing.
It was they had Znaps.
Yeah, Znaps.
Znaps. Okay, gotcha. Which is kind of funny because, like, we took Kinects, which is like a word that's compounded together like that, yeah. And then we made our own with Znaps. It's like,
I think we're probably putting too much emphasis on the Z. I think it's just more like Znaps.
Znaps.
Snap. That's my curse
Snap.
Word.
Yeah, no. There you go. That's a good Christian homeschool curse word. Snap.
Snap.
Yeah.
You know, I just realized what Kinects, it was actually meant like they connect together. How did I never two and two together?
Yeah,
like
and
that?
Weirdly enough, though, the Znaps did not Znap very well.
No.
They were more like, come on, get together, come, click. There you go.
Then you can never get them apart.
Yeah, they were pretty tough to.
They were.
Yeah. I don't know about Kinects. They were not so bad. But anyway, I'm going to make a bold statement here, and you can agree and disagree. Here's my bold statement.
Okay.
Lego Batman is the number one Christian film of 2017.
What?
I think I'm going to probably disagree with that because it's too early to call.
Ninjago might be better.
I'm gonna need you to back your statement before I give my opinion.
I'm just thinking there's really only one other Christian film that's come out this year, and we'll talk about that in a second. But I mean, you know, there's quite a bit of Christian themes in Lego Batman, about as much as there was in the second VeggieTales movie, you know? So, it seems to me that if it has Christian themes and it wasn't too, you know, crude in humor, then it's close enough. We can call it, right?
That is the one thing I like about the Lego movie and the Lego Batman movie is that it was, even as a kid's movie, it was really clean.
Yeah, well, there were a few jokes about Robin's name, but yeah. Other than that, but of course, if you're a kid, you're just like, whatever. But
yeah,
anyway,
it's probably the cleanest that Batman and Joker have ever been. I mean, the very beginning of the I thought it was hilarious from like the very first like minute, because you have the Joker come in and he starts throwing people out of the plane with parachutes on.
Yeah.
Because, like, the real Joker would just throw them out of the plane, but it was like throwing them out of the plane. I forget, they made some reference to the fact that they weren't dying within the first minute just because they wanted to clarify that the Joker isn't killing people.
Nobody dies in this movie except Sauron, and even he just really just gets a big pain in the eye, so it's all good. But yeah, you're right. It was a pretty clean movie in general. And the fact that there's really nothing else to compare it against in 2017, I think it's fair enough to say number one.
Wait, didn't Silence come out in 2017?
Oh, well.
Or did it come out in December?
I don't know if you should count that one or not, but I don't think it came out in 2017. I think it came out last year.
Is that the movie based in Japan?
I think so. Yeah, yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah, that is definitely not a that's certainly not a clean movie.
It's not safe for the whole family.
No, I've done some reading on it, and I've heard some of its theology's kind of out there.
I would like to watch that one, though.
I'm curious, but like, from what I read, it doesn't sound like it was going to be the masterpiece of Christian cinema.
I'd like
cinema
to watch
hoped.
It, but I don't want to actually have to watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm pretty sure that was 2016, because we were talking about it on our birthdays.
Yeah, well, it's something that I want to watch, like the cut version where they whatever service that is that cuts out all the bad
the
stuff.
The PureFlix or
yeah, whichever version.
It was Angel,
yeah,
something
which is a whole fun topic right there. But anyway, hey, here's your second segue. We're gonna segue into talking about Christian films.
Can we use skateboards?
I like scooters.
Okay,
we'll scooter into the next topic.
I'm scooter.
Hey, now it's another VeggieTale reference. Good job. But before we do, here is a quick word from this week's sponsor.
For the third straight day in a row, Gotham City Central Cathedral sits empty, threatened by the presence of a lone man whom clergy and Gotham City officials warn may be a foreign refugee and therefore a terrorist.
And who are you?
I'm Batman. Christian Batman.
And why are you not afraid of me too?
Because Christ said to love our neighbors. Come on, I'm taking you back to Wayne Manor.
What is that?
A big, big house with lots and lots of room. With a big, big table with lots and lots of food.
Batman! What is the secret to your awesomeness?
Every day I ask myself, what would Christian Batman do?
Christian Batman, The Dark Knight Rises, coming to theaters this summer.
We were talking about Christian films because Noah had sent me an article that was from our good friend of the podcast, Bob Welicheski. Actually, I don't think he has a clue who we are.
Yeah, can we get him on the show sometime?
Let's get Bob Wolodzieski on there.
Is he the tomato on VeggieTales?
No. Good try, but no. Phil Fisher. You know who Bob Wolodzieski is, Corey?
No, I do not.
Okay, that's fine.
I bet you do. You just don't know that you do.
So it has something to do with Adventures in Odyssey?
No. Nope. He works for Focus on the Family. Actually there probably is some overlap there, but Bob Wolodzieski is the movie review for Focus on the, or he's the critic for Focus on the Family, which does the Plugged In movie reviews.
Okay.
Yeah. So you may or may not be familiar with that.
I am.
He posted something. It was an article that Noah sent me. It was about Christian films and basically saying, why do they all fail so bad? And why do the ones that do good, which is kind of an interesting topic. So, Noah, any thoughts on the article that we read? For the record, it was, I think, titled, Why Do Christian Films Bomb at the Box Office, basically.
Yeah. I had some really good thoughts when I read this article like last Thursday, and I've forgotten pretty much all of them since then.
See, I personally think a lot of them bomb because they're trying to find a middle ground on like preaching and entertaining. And they, because I personally think, I mean, the point of a movie is to entertain, and they kind of get their priorities mixed up.
Right, yeah.
Does that make sense?
I think so. I'm curious.
Anyway, I would agree with that, except that actually isn't really terribly supported by the movies that have done well.
Well, yeah, that's true, actually.
Like, the statistics don't back that up, which is what I would have thought.
here's how this has worked over the last, like, 10 years. Like, 10 years ago, or a little more than 10 years ago, when Passion of the Christ came out, made a ton of money, did super duper well. And like ever since then, Hollywood has tried to re kind of find that glory of finding the Christian audience supporting a movie.
I think Passion of the Christ is still like the highest rated R-rated grossing movie.
Right. And by far the highest grossing Christian film of all time.
See, sadly, I think Deadpool beat it out with the R-rated thing. But
actually, I don't think it did.
I don't know. I don't know. Good question.
I didn't go
to see Passion of Christ or Deadpool?
No.
Neither one.
I saw Passion of Christ years later because I was tiny when it came out.
I was going to say, did you go watch that when you were like 4?
No, I saw that.
What kind of parents do you have?
He watched the PureFlix version that cut out pretty much the whole movie.
It was 2 minutes long.
Yeah. It was like, hey, look, Jesus is living again. He's risen. You know,
what happened?
Yeah, I don't know. It just suddenly happened. Yeah, so ever since then, like, Hollywood has tried to reproduce that success and hasn't really done a very good job. Yet, for some reason, some of these small studios, particularly the Kendrick Brothers studio, whatever it's called.
Sherwood Pictures?
Yeah, Sherwood has done a fairly good job of finding a kind of a niche that seems to do well with Facing the Giants, War Room, and Courageous, Fireproof, whatever.
Don't forget about Flywheel, even though it didn't do very good.
And Flywheel, which is still by far their best film, even though nobody's ever seen it. Even though that those films have done well, you know, whether you like them or not, you can't deny the fact that they've had more success than almost any other.
They made them with extremely small budgets and made huge returns on those small investments.
Yeah, and with continual success every film. Which is pretty amazing. But going back to this whole Lego Batman is the number one Christian film of 2017, the film that article by Bob Walczewski mentions is a film that recently came out a couple of weeks ago called The Resurrection of Gavin Stone.
Which I really do want to go see at some point.
Me too.
Like maybe when it comes out on DVD.
Corey, have you ever heard of this film?
I have. It's got Frank from the Middle in it.
Exactly.
And it's got Ward from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Which I don't think I will ever be able to watch this movie without thinking like, oh, look, there's Ward and Mike talking to each other.
Yeah, Mike, not Frank. I don't know why I said Frank.
Frankie is the other character.
Yeah, right, Frankie.
But it's like, I don't think I'd ever move past that. That's a hazard of having a TV actor in a movie, I guess. But
then, like, Daniel Radcliffe, you know, every time you see him in something, you'll be like, that's Harry Potter.
But yeah, exactly. Those career-killing roles, I guess.
They make and break it.
Right. But I think this movie is a kind of a case-in-point movie about Christian films because, theoretically, it has all the same Christian components that all these others do. At least I assume. I haven't seen it, but just based on the trailer, which seems to give away pretty much the whole movie. You know,
movies do that a lot.
Yeah, it seems to have all the same components that you would expect to find in like a Kendrick Brothers movie, and yet it's pretty well bombed at the box office so far. It's the only actually Christian film that's come out this year. So you could say it's the number one Christian film of 2017, but it's actually not done very well. So,
well, here's the problem. I mean, we're sitting here and we said we would go to see it.
And we have it.
But I never knew Lego Batman.
I never knew it was showing anywhere. And now it's not showing anywhere. It came and went before I even knew about it.
I think it probably still like got 1 week in theaters. It opened in, I think, almost 900 theaters.
I think there might be one theater in Little Rock still showing it, but I don't think like Tinseltown was showing it anymore.
Huh. I just missed it.
The stats on this film are it had a budget of $2 million, and so far, it actually, I mean, this is fair, it's made $2.3
million. Wow. Yeah, so that's not a very good return.
It's not a good return. I mean, theoretically, well, at least they made their money back, but
Facing the Giants made more than that.
It might have made its money back. I mean, the time they actually pay some of the expenses that may not have been calculated
in. In comparison, War Room, the Kendrick Brothers' most recent film, made almost $60 million, or more than $60 million.
Wow.
So, obviously, there's a huge gap there. So, at the end of this article by Bob Walczewski, he basically just says, so what then does it take to make a good, successful Christian film? And I think that's an interesting question.
More advertising.
Oh, well, actually, that was kind of a prerequisite that he mentioned.
Yeah.
He says, his two things, he says it has to have good story and better good marketing. But he said, and that's obviously a true of just about any film, though. So, you know, outside of those two things, what makes a good Christian film, you know?
Seems like we've talked about this on the podcast before.
Well, no, we're not talking about what makes a good one. We're talking about what makes a successful one. Because
true.
He would say, he can tell, he thinks a lot of times that he can tell what's going to be a good movie just by seeing it. And by that own reasoning, he kind of like wrote off, like, what was the last one from last year?
Like
Miracles
of Heaven. Yeah. Which looks pretty flowery.
This isn't going to do well. It's going to bomb. And then it was actually one of the more successful Christian movies of last year.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the fact that it was fairly, kind of
shallow. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Not amazing.
I haven't seen it, so I don't know. Have any of us seen that movie? Miracles from Heaven? Yeah, so we should
probably
careful.
Probably shouldn't talk about it. But he was the one that said that he didn't think it would do well, so we're just still quoting him at this point.
Yeah, exactly. And it also made enough money to get up into, I think, the $50-60 million range, which for the record puts it in like the top 10 all-time Christian returns.
Grossing,
yeah, yeah, which is really weird.
Was that the one with Jennifer Garner?
I don't know.
I think
yeah, the girl, sure. Yeah.
The girl, like, about the girl who like hit her head and then like was healed and.
Oh yes, that's, I believe that is it. Yeah,
I saw the trailer for it and I felt like I had watched the entire movie.
Maybe.
Exactly. Yeah. Hey, look, and then we kind of made a parody of it in our Touchdown by an Angel advertisement.
Yes.
Yeah.
Episode 3 of the podcast.
Go listen to it if you want to hear our. I mean,
our idea of what a successful Christian movie would be.
Which, for the record, I think Touchdown by an Angel has all the components to be a fantastic Christian movie. I mean, it's got miracles, it's got football, it's
got... The
Hispanic guy from Courageous.
And it's a parody, so it's playing off of other movies. That makes it even better.
Yeah.
And VeggieTales has proven that that's very successful.
But, so, I mean, seriously,
except
though...
Except for when you're trying to parody a big fish and a guy that gets swallowed by it.
Well, I have an entirely different idea than anybody's thrown out here about why some Christian movies are successful. I think it has to do with the timing of the release of them at a period of time when the youth pastors and student ministers need somewhere to take their youth groups.
The middle of summer?
Yeah.
That's actually a good idea.
Yeah. Because, I mean, that adds a huge volume of money into it when every youth group in the country goes to see a
movie. Even when they get just like a pastor to recommend a movie or something. Yeah. That helps a lot. Yeah.
So I'll throw my two cents out. I think that the biggest factor to having a successful Christian movie is that you've got to cater to moms.
Probably true.
That like, it's like just like the Christian music.
Like K Love?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Hallmark Channel?
Yeah, that's basically it. Yeah.
That's what Caleb is, though.
I'm honestly trying to think of what Christian movie did that demographic that has been
Passion
successful.
Passion of the Christ.
Except for Passion of the Christ. I was going to make that exception.
I don't know if the, at least, Facing the Giants and...
Facing the Giants would be a toss-up, but I think every movie that they made after that would fall into that category.
I mean, there's literally a movie called Mom's Night Out with Patricia Heaton. I'm
that
sure
is a great movie.
That's true. Yeah. Hey, that's fun. You know, that's two of the main characters on the middle that have been in Christian films recently. Yeah. That's interesting. But where were we?
We were talking about what it takes to make a successful Christian film.
And we were saying that it should cater to moms. And
I said,
I don't think Facing the Giants did that.
Well, I think that there's a good chance that maybe Facing the Giants did. But I think if you look at Courageous, I think if you look at Fireproof, I think if you look at...
I don't know. Both of those films are actually kind of targeted towards men.
They kind of were, but I think that they had the intention of getting married couples... to go see this.
So it's like, oh, this is a man's movie. I'm going to get my husband to go with me.
I'm going to make my husband go too, yeah.
Okay, gotcha. I don't know. There are some movies that don't, Christian films that haven't quite fallen into that category, but perhaps that is a good thing for success, you know?
I'm pretty sure it doesn't hurt, but...
It can't hurt.
I think if you look at the target demographic, I feel like the ones that are successful are reaching that demographic. And I kind of wonder, is that what happened with the Gavin Stone movie, is it wasn't hitting that demographic?
It sure seems like it would. I mean, it's kind of the same model as the others.
Okay, what was the plot on that movie? Give me the trailer.
Hi, I'm Gavin Stone. I'm a good-looking guy, and something bad has happened to me, and then I get saved, and then something good happens to me.
I thought, like... if I remember right, that he like somehow gets involved in some sort of church production thing, but he's not actually
a
Christian.
He was like a big actor who got in trouble and then he had to do community service at the church. So his community service, he discovered that they were doing a passion play and he's like, well, this sounds like a great opportunity to use my skill set to do community service. So he gets involved in being an actor in their passion play.
And he gets cast as Jesus?
Yes.
And it turns out he's actually
a Buddhist?
Because
he's egotistical and he wanted the leading role, which of course is Jesus. So that was kind of the idea.
Again, we haven't seen the film, but obviously we can piece it up together through just the trailer.
Well, I've read like, you know, the synopsis of it. So.
Right.
Did no one get my reference?
I got your reference.
Okay, thank you.
But it's one of those movies that it's just... again, it seems to follow that same model of, hey, look, something bad happens. Oh, look, God enters the picture. Hey, look, everything's okay now.
Christian Mingle.
What?
I'm pretty sure you just yeah, you know that, wait, you know the movie Christian Mingle that they made that you just described it.
I know the website, not that I'm on it, but anyway.
They made a movie called Christian Mingle about an unsaved girl who gets on the website and meets the guy of her dreams, but then he finds out she's not saved and some great thing happens and she converts and then it's a happily ever after.
Wow, this sounds like advertising, like just a big advertisement.
Every Christian movie ever.
It was like a Hallmark movie commercial for Christian Mingle. I mean, I watched like a review of it and that was enough for me.
Yeah. Okay, so it's like I feel like we all agree that kind of shallow mom's movie, even if it does well, is clearly not a good form of art that we want to go see. So yeah. Why is it doing well? Yeah, I mean,
youth groups.
It's a feel good thing. I mean,
yeah, it's kind of like a movie. Oh, look, here's a movie we can all go see as
it
a family.
Is an interesting point that it may be filling that role of movies in the theaters of offering a inspirational type movie among all of the other movies that are definitely not filling that role.
They're generally going to be family friendly, like a lot more than a lot of other movies. So it'll be another option to take kids to.
I don't know. I mean, does that make Caleb the hallmark of the radio?
Yes.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
But that's kind of what I was drawing it as. I was drawing the correlation to what works in Christian music, and therefore I think would probably also work in Christian movies.
So where are we going to get the indie, hip-hop, hipster Christian music in the movie range?
I really feel like deja vu.
It's kind of the same discussion we have about music is we feel like, oh, this is kind of shallow. Well, where are we going to get, you know, more better music in the same way we feel like where are we going to get Christian art in
I
the form of, you know,
the
film?
The good thing is that we are kind of in a time period where you can produce and actually show your own movies with the internet.
True.
And I think that may foster more of a underground Christian movie market in time.
What makes it really tough, though, is like you can make good music on a very low budget.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a lot harder to make a good movie on
that. Exactly.
Like true. Yeah.
A low-budget Christian movie costs $2 million.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Gavin
Stone a low-budget album costs $2,000.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, where are we going to get this good Christian? I mean, that's not even just true for Christian films. I think that goes across the market.
Yeah.
Where are we going to get good film that isn't this huge blockbuster, mega marketed film industry?
There has been a very interesting shift, though, towards people making more and more television because it's less expensive.
True.
And maybe that's what we're going to see is maybe a shift towards Christian miniseries television Netflix type shows.
It's a show on the Hallmark Channel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be awesome, like a Netflix Christian series. Yeah,
I mean, the cool thing about that, is you can branch out a lot more. And like the Bible miniseries, which was...
That's actually probably a pretty good example.
It was okay. I mean, like, they had to condense a lot, because if you want to do the whole Bible, that'd be like a 26-season show. I
mean. It'd be 66 seasons. No.
I don't think you could devote an entire season to like Third John.
That's true. But I'm not sure. You might have to, there's some books that you might have to devote two seasons to. I mean, I don't know.
The other
Isaiah,
problem
Jeremiah,
is,
I don't know.
Yeah.
That there is a certain degree, I think, more difficulty because I'm not sure there are as many people that are capable of making Christian movies that have like the experience and the knowledge and everything. That you look at the Christian music industry and there's actually a lot of people in the Christian music industry because the church has actually done a pretty good job of fostering people that are involved in music.
Because there are people like Corey.
Yeah. There's a place that, like, it's one of the few places you can go and play music when you're a teenager.
Right.
But you can't really go to a church and make a movie. So it's a much more difficult thing.
So
but
are we saying
made a movie?
That's true. That's
we did, but we didn't make a high caliber movie.
And our quality was awful, and it was 2 minutes long.
But you're right. I mean, I'm not saying that it can't be done. I'm just saying that I don't see it having the same...
So...
Like, for lack of a better word, it doesn't have the same farm system that music does.
Does that mean that the reason we don't have good Christian films is because the church doesn't have a good philosophy on good visual art.
Well, Sherwood Baptist did.
Good for Sherwood Baptist, but what about the rest of the churches?
We got one church in the whole United States that knows how to make a movie.
And it took them several tries.
And I mean, that's something that's definitely subject to change. I'm just saying that I don't see the same scenario with television or movies.
I would like to see like some sort of Christian film festival. I think that would help a lot. I don't know how that would work because I'm not very knowledgeable in the movie industry. But...
Right. And see, that's the thing is none of us are. And you're not learning how to be good in the music industry at church.
The other thing I think that may be a hindrance to Christian movies is I feel like there is only so many plots you can make and still have a overtly Christian movie. That it kind of falls into the same problem with like superhero movies, that they get kind of repetitive. I mean, even when you change it out, you got an entirely different superhero, it still kind of feels like it's using the exact same plot line over and over again.
Yeah.
It appears that there are a lot of Christian film festivals if you just Google them.
But have you heard of any of them?
No, not
a one. See, then it doesn't really matter.
Kingdom Wood Christian Film Festival.
I mean, it only works in as much as it is able to reach people. So, you know, I don't know. Obviously, this is not a topic that we can solve tonight, but I do think we've had a good conversation here. I really do think there's something to this idea, though, that Christians don't have a good philosophy of visual art, and that's one of the reasons we have a hard time making good Christian film. Even if we have great stories with lots of feel-good, feel-good scenes in them with good music or whatever, but we don't have a good philosophy of how to create film.
Now, there is one more flip side of this that we haven't talked about, and that's what about when Hollywood makes Christian movies?
Oh, yeah. They usually,
bad.
They're usually not very good.
Yeah, they're almost all terrible. So,
I didn't see it, but the Noah's Ark movie I heard was absolutely terrible.
Right, and I mean, there are lots of other examples of that, too, so...
So I kind of have to ask, why are they consistently bad? Like, I'm pretty sure that they're asking the same thing. Like, why are our movies all failing? We thought we were making good movies and nobody's going to them. But I think we're all asking the opposite question. Why do you keep making these terrible movies?
Yeah.
My idea, like, I hope I don't, like, step on toes. But, like, objectively, Christian movies, like, generally aren't very good. Like, there are certainly exceptions. But, like... I don't know if I've seen many that I just consider masterpieces.
Right.
Yeah.
And so they may think that like the Christian market will settle for a lesser film, so they make this probably, you know, half-heartedly, and that's what we get.
Except I don't think that that's what they do a lot of times. I feel like they really do put a lot of money and effort into making really nice high-end quality movies. It just doesn't seem like they seem to understand the what Christians want in the way of a story.
What we want is accuracy to the source material.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what I was going to say. I think they often say, I'm going to get a movie, make it Christian, you know, add some Christian content. And then as my subplot, I'm going to be driving some viewpoint down their throat that they're probably not going to like. But I'm going to try and make them, convince them to like this.
And in fairness, I actually don't think it's really limited to Christian movies. In general, I'm not real happy with the way Hollywood just adapts movies in general.
That's true.
Seems like they do a very poor job of keeping the source material across multiple different genres, not just Christian
every
movies.
Time they make a book into a movie.
That's true. It's not just Christian movies.
So yeah, if they can't figure out how to make a normal story into a good movie, why should we expect them to make, you know, the Bible into a good movie?
And possibly the one exception to that is it does seem like actually Disney has done a pretty good job of adapting superhero movies and Star Wars movies and etc. Although they did a terrible job with Prince Caspian.
Well, this has been an interesting conversation, but it is time for us to say goodbye and wrap up this episode. So let's go into our final segment of the show, which we are now going to start calling, what are we going to call it, Noah?
What were we going to call it? Sound Advice!
Sound Advice, which is the segment of the show that we give advice because we are Hardwick Sound. So let's go around the room. Mom, do you have a word of advice for our listeners?
I have an awesome word of advice. Go out and buy you an electric mousetrap.
All right.
They work. We bought a little electric mousetrap. Looks like a little box, has batteries in it. Little mouse runs in there and it gets its foot on two different little pieces of metal. The circuit flows through the mouse and zaps him. No pain, dead mouse. I'm happy. So if you're having mouse problems, go buy you one of these. They're so much better than those nasty, messy mouse traps.
Yeah, and it doesn't leave any blood stains on your cabinets either.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting advice. Okay, then. Thank you. Noah, what is your advice this week?
My advice is when there's a new movie coming out, that you can go to the opening showing and not have to go at midnight anymore. That you can actually go to a showing on the Thursday night before the movie comes out. And a lot of theaters will have showings that are like 5 o'clock, 5:30, 7:30, 8 o'clock. You don't have to go wait and go at midnight. So, and also, a lot of times the theaters are kind of empty because people don't know this. So.
Yeah.
So if you're listening, don't take his advice. Don't show up early. Yeah. Leave it empty for us.
We kind of liked it empty, so it's all good. Seth, some sound advice for us, please.
Oh, I didn't know you were coming to me.
I was clearly going in a clockwise form. You should have been able to figure this out.
Oh, sound advice. Hey, Corey, you got any sound advice?
I do. If you're making a movie based off of a book, stick to the source material.
That's good
advice.
If people would just listen to that advice, they'd have a lot better movies. Okay, Seth, do you have anything now?
Snap.
Oh, there you go. There you go. That's a good one, Seth. If you're a homeschooler and you want a good curse word.
Hey, you just stole my sound advice.
That was your sound advice. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
My sound advice would be that.
Hold on to your cheddar peppers?
Yeah. If you're at Sonic and it's windy, be sure to make sure to hold on to your cheddar peppers or they will fly across the parking lot. So.
And people will hear you say curses.
Right.
Which you snap.
Snap would have been probably a more appropriate in that term. Yeah. But all right. Hey, let's say goodbye. I'm Caleb Hardwick signing off.
I'm Carla Hardwick, signing off.
I'm Noah, and Roger.
You're Roger?
Well, no, I'm Noah. Signing off.
I'm Noah, and I'm Roger.
So, okay. We agreed that we were going to say Roger to say bye. And well, it's just kind of confusing when you say your name and then you say Roger. So,
I'm Seth, 10-4.
I'm Corey. Roger.
Hey, are y'all related? You have both have the same last name.
Corey Roger? I know that guy. All right, everybody. Stay safe. Don't be stupid.
Check us
out online. Hardwickpodcast.com, Facebook.com/HardwickPodcast, at Hardwick Podcast on Twitter, and anywhere else you want to find us. Have a great week. Thanks for listening. Talk to you later.
This episode was edited by yours truly, Caleb Hardwick, and featured music by Bobby Prince. Until next time, thank you for listening.